So tonight we're going to start a series on faith for the next couple of weeks, for the next 3 weeks actually. We're going to be talking about faith, and if you've got your Bible app, you can follow along. You can just go into the events Bible in the Bible app there and follow along with what we're going to be talking about tonight. But I want to talk about faith, and I want to talk about faith in the unseen and trusting God even when we can't see Him and we can't see what He's doing. I think we can all relate to that. There's times when, you know, maybe it doesn't even feel like God is there, and it feels like things are happening, and we're told that God is working. We're supposed to know that God is involved, but we just can't see Him. Maybe we can't even see some of the things that He's doing, and that's what we're going to be talking about for the next few weeks, and maybe getting a better understanding, hopefully, of faith. You ever heard of blind sight? Anybody know what that means? Blind sight? Okay, you heard of Daredevil? Right? Marvel guy, Daredevil, series on Netflix right now. But Daredevil is in some ways a little bit of that, because if you don't know, he can't see, right? The dude's blind. But all of his other senses are heightened because, well, not because of some other things that are comic booky, but really because he's not able to see, his other senses are heightened, and he's able to see, but he's able to see through this sort of sonar kind of thing. So he can see, but he can't physically see, but he has like an awareness of what's around him. He has an awareness of the things that are going on, and there's times in our life when we're that way. There's times in our life where maybe we're walking through blind and you can't see what's happening, but through faith you maybe begin to start understanding what God is doing. Because of your faith, hopefully you have an awareness of what God is doing in your life, or at least that's what you should be kind of growing toward, because we can't always see Him working. If you're honest with yourself, there's been times in your life, and maybe that's right now, where you almost feel like you're in the pitch black. You feel like you're in the pitch black dark. You ever been in a room so dark you can't see your hand in front of your face? Anybody ever been in like a room like that dark, like cave or something like that? And it's almost like creepy, like you can feel the darkness. Sometimes our life can feel like that. We can maybe be in a place where we feel like that. We can't even see our hand in front of our face. But we want to see. We want to know the answers. We want to know what's going on. We want to be able to maybe steer clear of some of the risk, but we can't see what's in front of us, and so we just sort of are stumbling through and hoping that we're not going to run into anything. But there's times where if we don't step out into the unknown, if we don't step out on faith, we're never going to really experience the kind of life that God wants for us, because we're not always going to be able to see everything. No matter how maybe deeply you grow in your spiritual walk, maybe how close you are to God, you're never going to be able to see everything. And so here's a question to start you off with. Do you want to know God more than you want to be safe or comfortable or secure? That's kind of a tough question. That's a deep question. That's a deep thinking question. So keep thinking on that one. Because your initial response may be like, I really like being safe and secure and being able to see some things. But in all honesty, do you want to know God? And do you want to know really what He has for your life, maybe more than those things? Because you're not going to be able to see everything. There's going to be times where you have to go on blind sight, and you have to be willing to see God working in your life. So with tonight being baseball, baseball themed, if you will, with the Indians night, I do want to talk about baseball for a minute. It's my favorite sport. I've been to the Baseball Hall of Fame. For me, it's my favorite Hall of Fame I've ever been to. I've been to the Football Hall of Fame. I've been to the Hockey Hall of Fame. I've been to the Buckeye Hall of Fame in Columbus, which is pretty sweet and was really awesome, and love seeing the Heisman and all that kind of stuff there. But for me, personally, nothing topped Cooperstown. Nothing has topped. I got to go in 2015 with my dad, and that's us at Cooperstown there, looking through some of the stuff. It's pretty small. It's a small town where it is, but it's awesome. And if you're a baseball person and you know anything about baseball, you absolutely would love it, because it's nothing but baseball memorabilia and history and all that kind of stuff. And it's amazing. And in my opinion, anybody been to the Football Hall of Fame? It's just right down the road, right? Have you been to the Football Hall of Fame? It's always funny to ask, like, because we all live right here. People come from all over the world to go to the Football Hall of Fame. And there's like two of us, three of us in the room that have actually been there, and we live right here. It's really funny. But in my opinion, the Baseball Hall of Fame is the toughest one to get in. There are years when you go into the actual hall where it's got like, here's who got inducted and in what year and all that kind of stuff. There are actually years that no one got inducted because nobody was good enough. There was just, they were like, nope, there's nobody good enough to get in. You have to be the best of the best to get in to the Baseball Hall of Fame. The absolute best. In fact, for any of you that know maybe even a little bit about baseball, you would be amazed some of the guys that aren't in the Hall of Fame that have not been inducted. If you know anything about baseball, especially in Cleveland over the last, call it 15 years or so, who are not in there. And you're like, what? Like, how's that guy not there? But they're not. There are some amazing people. Like, for example, Roger Maris. This is the guy that had the home run record, 61 home runs in 1961. All right, that was the home run record until steroids beat it in a few years back. And he is not in the Hall of Fame as an inductee into the Hall of Fame. Roger Maris is not. He has stuff in the Hall of Fame, but if you go in like as memorabilia, but he was actually, as a career, Roger Maris was actually not good enough to be an inductee into the Hall of Fame. It's pretty crazy. Jim Thome is getting inducted this year. I don't know if you guys remember watching Jim Thome. I do. He was amazing watching Jim Thome play. He was one of the best of the best. But you'd be amazed at people that are not in there. You have to be the best of the best. And I want to tell you two baseball stories to kind of show you a couple of different things tonight. Herb Score played for the Cleveland Indians back in the 50s, all right? And in 1957, he was 23 years old. He was pitching for the Indians. He was going to be a Hall of Famer. He was that good. He was amazing. And on May 7th, he gets hit with a line drive that came right back, hit him right in the eye. Hit him right in the eye and blinded him. And Lauren, could you hit the thing for me? And there's like the wrap on his face and all of that. And he had to get carted off. He just got completely like destroyed by this line drive. Hit him square in the eye. And people were wondering what was gonna happen to him. This was a guy that was supposed to be in the Hall of Fame. And when he was asked, here's what he said. He said, "Give up? I never gave up. When I was first hit, they bandaged both eyes. I could hear people walking. I thought, we never appreciate what God does for us. We never think what it is to see. I can see very well. My ankle has been a little sore, but the eye, the only problem I have now is getting fellas out." Well, he ended up actually becoming an announcer for the Indians. And he was the announcer for the Indians when I was in high school. He was the guy that we listened to. It was Herb Score. He never really amounted to too much more in his pitching career. He never lost his faith in the game of baseball, though. And baseball was good to him, as he said. And things changed in his life because of that circumstance. But here's what he said. He retired a few years ago, and he actually was the announcer along with Tom Hamilton for a long, long time. But he said, "Everything I have in life, I owe to baseball. I've been a professional baseball for 35 years. Maybe if it wasn't for the fact that my playing career got cut short, I wouldn't have this job." He said, I love broadcasting. Is there a better baseball job than this? And he stepped out in spite of tough circumstances. He still got to be a part of the game that he loved. It wasn't the way that he thought it would happen, because he probably would have ended up in the Hall of Fame as good of a pitcher as he was when he first started. But he's not in there. But this guy is. Mickey Mantle, one of the best ever to play, no question about it. No question about it, top 10 players to ever play the game, regardless of whether you hate the Yankees like I do or not, he is one of the best ever to play. But he doesn't remember most of his career. If he was alive now, he would actually tell you that. He died a few years ago. I want to say 97 is when he died. And that's more than a few years ago, isn't it? Sorry. It doesn't seem that long ago, but now that I'm thinking about it, that was when it was. But he doesn't remember most of his career because he was an alcoholic. He was a big-time alcoholic. He was plagued with injuries. And unlike today, with baseball players, they get a hangnail, they go on the 10-day DL. You know what I mean? They don't play. But back then, like, You got injured, they're like, so what? Wrap it up and go play. You know what I mean? And he went out and played. He won the Triple Crown, which if you don't know what the Triple Crown is, means that he won for the season. He was the best in RBIs. He was the best, which is runs batted in. He was the best batting average in baseball. And he had the most home runs all in 1 year. That's only been done a few times in the history of baseball. And he doesn't even remember doing it because he was trashed virtually every game. He doesn't remember this picture if you would have asked him about it, because he was drunk, because he used alcohol to, at first it started as a way to kind of ease the pain, but then it just became an addiction and it became something that kind of took over his life. Majority of his career, he doesn't remember, and he is one of the best ever. Definitely in the Hall of Fame, has an entire wing in the Hall of Fame. My dad loved Mickey Mantle. He's got tons of Mickey Mantle stuff at home. He absolutely just loved the guy. And his stats are incredible in spite of the fact that he was an alcoholic. This is a guy that literally had it all, made it into the Hall of Fame, and yet he had nothing. And his faith was in things that don't last. That's where his faith was. If you got your Bibles, I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 11, if you're in the Bible app. And I'm going to show you how this is all going to kind of come around, because I'm showing you two extremes of two people that did two different things, yet in baseball, and reacted in two different ways. Hebrews chapter 11 is known as the Hall of Fame of Faith. And in the Hall of Fame, any baseball or whatever sport Hall of Fame you go to, these are the giants of the sport. These are the people that were the best of the best. And that's what Hebrews 11 is. But all of their stories lead to Jesus. All of their stories lead to Jesus. All the stories of guys in the Hall of Fame and in the Sports Hall of Fames, they all lead to accolades about themselves. But these stories in Hebrews chapter 11, they all lead to Jesus. And they're not fables. They're not kids' stories. These are tough stories. These are real stories, and their lives should have an impact on us. And so here's what we're going to do. I'm going to read actually a majority of Hebrews chapter 11 tonight. And we're going to break it down, and I'm going to go through it. I'm going to give you some action points that go with it about faith. If you're struggling with your faith, and you're struggling with faith, maybe you're in a circumstance right now you don't understand. You don't understand what's going on, and you're struggling to have some faith with it. I'm going to give you some action points straight from the Word of God so that we can learn from these giants of the faith. So let's start with verse 1. Here we go. Verse 1 actually just defines what faith is. If you have to define faith, this is the best verse for it. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. Through their faith, the people in the days of old earned a good reputation. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed to God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. It was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain did. Abel's offering gave evidence that he was a righteous man, and God showed his approval of his gifts. Although Abel is long dead, he still speaks to us by his example of faith. It was by faith that Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. He disappeared because God took him. For before he was taken up, he was known as a person who pleased God. Now look at verse 6. This is a big verse. And it is impossible to please God without faith. Hear that one. Let's just stop right there for a sec. It is impossible to please God without faith. That only makes sense, right? If we're going to please God, we need to have faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. So here's my first point for you guys, is that faith leads to action, not the other way around. Too many times we think that the things that we do will give us faith. I will grow in my faith when I do these things. But it's virtually the other way around. We need to grow our faith, and the result will be the things that we do in many ways. Look at verse 7 here. It was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, who warned him about things that had never happened before. By his faith, Noah condemned the rest of the world, and he received the righteousness that comes by faith. Is your life making maybe too much sense to the people around you? Do you realize Noah was a crazy person to everybody around him? No one had ever seen rain. I don't think we think about that when we think about Noah. He's like, it's going to rain and flood everywhere. And they're like, you're crazy, dude. He was the only person that this made sense to. Him and his family, they were the only ones who had faith in God. You might be the crazy one in your family if you really step out on your faith. You might already be in your house. It may not be for your faith. You may just be the crazy person in your family, like Austin. But when it comes to your faith, you might be the only person in your home that has faith. And that may begin to show in some amazing ways if your faith grows, because faith leads to action. Look at verse 8. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going. And even when he reached the land God promised him, he lived there by faith, for he was like a foreigner, living in tents. And so did Isaac and Jacob, who inherited the same promise. Abraham was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God. Blind faith is what Abraham had. He had blind faith. He left his home, had no direction, no plan other than God said, go, I'll show you when you get there. I would have a tough time with that. I don't know about you guys, but this is a guy that had blind faith, but faith leads to action. When our faith grows, it will lead to action. There is never a time when you read scripture, there is never a time when God's speaking to you that there's not an action point, that there's not something to be done with that. It's never just to sit and look at it and go, that's nice. That's never the point of scripture. That's never the point of God speaking to you. Never. So my next point for you guys is by faith, go where he leads. He may be telling you to go somewhere and you don't know where yet. But by faith, go where he leads. If he is leading you there, go where he leads. It's good to be prepared. It's good to plan. Believe me, I'm that guy. But are we willing to throw away our plans? Are we willing to put our agenda aside to go where he leads, not go where we lead, but to go where he leads? Let's go to verse 11. It was by faith that even Sarah was able to have a child. Though she was barren and was too old, she believed that God would keep his promise. And so a whole nation came from this one man who was as good as dead, a nation with so many people that like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore, there is no way to count them. By faith, believe in what he tells you. You need to, by faith, believe in what he tells you. If God promises you something, you can take it to the bank. It may not be in your time, may not be in my time, but you can take it to the bank. Believe what he tells you. God keeps his promises. Verse 13, all these people died still believing what God had promised them. They did not receive what was promised, but they saw it all from a distance and welcomed it. They agreed that they were foreigners and nomads here on earth, and obviously people who say such things are looking forward to a country that they can call their own. If they longed for the country that they came from, they could have gone back, but they were looking for a better place, a heavenly homeland. That is why God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. See, this goes against everything that we want. These people could have played it safe. When God said go, they could have been like, nah, we're good. We're going to chill. But they listened and they went. They didn't play it safe. They stepped out on faith. What about you? What about you? Is God asking you to do something? Is God asking you to go somewhere? And it may not be pick up your entire family and move. You know what I'm saying? That's an extreme example for probably what your circumstance is. But is there a place that maybe you should be going? Is there a thing that you know you should be headed toward or even away from? Verse 17. It was by faith that Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice when God was testing him. Abraham, who had received God's promises, was ready to sacrifice his only son, Isaac. You just have to trust that God is God and that he keeps his promises in those moments when he asks you to sacrifice something that you thought you would never have to sacrifice. Because let me tell you, obedience to God very rarely does not include sacrifice. If he's asking you to do something, if he's asking you to go somewhere, more than likely there is going to be a sacrifice involved there. Isaac was his only boy. Isaac was the boy that he had been praying for what seemed like forever. And he finally showed up and God says, I want you to sacrifice him to me. I cannot imagine that. And I've got three boys. One we didn't even plan for. I can't imagine being in that position. What that was like, because Isaac was a boy, he wasn't a baby. Not that that makes it better or worse or whatever. But like, this is a boy that could look at him and as he's tying him up, as a dad, this just rips me apart. As he's tying up his only son and laying him down, and his son's not just like squirming and whining, he's probably looking at him and going, Dad, what's going on? Like talking to him, conversation. Dad, why? And all he could say is, because I have faith in God. You may be asked to sacrifice something that you don't want to sacrifice. You might have this struggle inside. What if I'm wrong on this one? Maybe I shouldn't be doing this. Maybe I should be doing that. You know what circumstance you're talking about, you're thinking about when it comes to that. I know God has brought something to your mind right now that you know you should either sacrifice or walk away from. Here's your next action point. By faith, sacrifice what he asks for. It's not easy. It never is. But if he's asking you to sacrifice something, to walk away from something, he's doing it for a reason. Maybe it's that relationship that you know you shouldn't be in, that you don't want to sacrifice, but you may have to, because you know it's pulling you the wrong direction. I don't know what it might be. Look at verse 23. Skip down there. It's talking about Moses. It was by faith that Moses hid him for 3 months when he was born. They saw that God had given him an unusual child, and they were not afraid to disobey the king's command. His parents hid him for 3 months. God gave him a child that they knew was going to do something amazing. And so they were willing to sacrifice. They were willing to disobey the king's command because by faith, they were willing to risk everything for something greater. They were willing to risk comfort and security for something greater. That's your next action point there. The comfort and security of where you're at. We're very comfortable. We're very secure in this country. What are you willing to risk for the greater, for something greater, for God? Look at verse 29. It was by faith that the people of Israel went right through the Red Sea as though they were on dry ground. When the Egyptians tried to follow, they were all drowned. Crossed the Red Sea. They went by faith. They went by faith. They risked everything to do that. That would be rough. Walking through these huge walls of water and just hoping they stay up. Okay. Even with everything else that they'd seen. But they did. For something greater. Because in those moments is when we stop believing. But by faith, we need to refuse to stop believing. When we're seeing things that maybe we don't believe, remembering who's really in charge here. And we can read through this passage and we can think like, okay, these are Hall of Famers. You know what I mean? It's like when I walk to the Baseball Hall of Fame and going, man, I love baseball, but I'll never be able to hit as good as these guys. I'll never be able to catch as good as these guys. And I won't. Definitely won't. But we read this in the Bible and we think, I could never be like them. Let me tell you, these guys struggled. These people struggled. They made big mistakes. They weren't perfect, not by any stretch. You're just reading the highlights here in Hebrews, but if you go back and read their entire story, they did some knucklehead things. Let me tell you the difference. Look at me. They were all in. They were all in. All in for whatever Jesus wanted them to do. Whatever God wanted them to do. Only God can make sense of these crazy stories. And whatever crazy story you're going through right now, only God can make sense of it. Not me. Not anybody else around you. Only God is going to make sense of it. I'll tell you one more baseball story before I wrap up. And it's a quick one. It's this guy in the middle. His name's Bobby Richardson. Also played for the Yankees. Played with Mickey Mantle. And Whitey Ford, who's on the right there. Bobby Richardson was a Christian. And he was on the team with the Yankees. And he stayed friends with Mickey Mantle throughout his entire life. And then toward the end of Mickey Mantle's life, Bobby Richardson just kept sharing the gospel with him, just kept being his friend, kept being there for him. And eventually, a couple of years before Mickey Mantle passed away, Bobby Richardson led him to the Lord. Shared the gospel with him so many times, and Mickey Mantle accepted Christ. And he is in heaven. By faith, but it took an entire lifetime of prayer and friendship and love with his friend. But God won in the end. God won in the end. So here's my connection point. By faith, step out into the unknown. Whatever's going on right now, you're probably, if you're feeling like you're in the pitch black and your faith is feeling kind of weak right now, have you given it over to the Lord? Are you willing to step into the unknown? Don't fall into the trap of it has to be this formula to get God to do the things that you want. It doesn't work that way. Faith doesn't work that way. It's not having faith so you can manipulate God into this, this, and this. That's not what it's like. It's not us. It's not what we do. It's what he is leading us to do. What is he leading you to do? Have you maybe ignored it because it's not what you want? But you know it's what God wants. Let me give one more verse for you. James 2, 21 through 22. It says, don't you remember that our ancestor Abraham was shown to be right with God by his actions when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see, his faith and his actions work together. And his actions made his faith complete. Who's going to give it all up for the glory of God? The question is not what your good deed will be. The question is, God, do I believe you are who you say you are? Do I believe you keep your promises? Do I really have faith in you? And that will guide and direct your actions. It's not, well, I'm going to go volunteer here, or I'm going to go to the jail there, and then that will give me favor with God because we volunteered down there. I'm going to go on this missions trip, and that'll give me favor with God, and then things might go good. That's not the way it works, guys. Faith directs our actions. Not the other way around. We need to desire God more than any of our plans and any of our desires. We need to desire God and what he wants. Everybody bow your head, close your eyes if you could. Where are you struggling in your faith right now? Let me ask you that. Where are you struggling in your faith? I would ask you to look to the promises of God's word because it's full of them. God's word is full of promises. Maybe you need prayer about something. Maybe you need somebody to pray with you. That's cool. We'd love to. Maybe just Maybe you just need to talk. That's fine, too. Maybe you need to put a plan of action in place for how you can grow your faith. It starts in God's word and believing in his promises. Let me tell you, the biggest promise of all is eternal life. If you're not 100% sure that you're going to heaven, if you don't know for sure that if something were to happen to you tonight on your way home, something were to happen to you right here, right now, that you would wake up in heaven with Jesus. You can know that for sure. By faith, you can know that. And I would love to talk to you tonight, and so would any of our leaders. If that's you, if you want to know more about that, would you be willing to just look at me right in the eye? If you need prayer about something, if you need to talk tonight, would you be willing to maybe just slip up your hand and we could talk to you if you need that? Jesus, I love you, Lord. I thank you for the great night that we've had. Lord, I thank you for everybody that's here. And Lord, I thank you for, God, that we've all been safe and we've had a good time tonight, Lord. But I thank you so much for your word, and I thank you for the faith that of these amazing people in the Hall of Fame that we can learn from, Lord. Help us to grow in our faith so that we can grow closer to you, God, that will in turn guide our actions. God, we don't want to live in the pitch black. We want to have faith that you're guiding and directing us. Lord, help us to do that. Lord, if there's one here that doesn't know you as Savior, Father, I pray that they wouldn't walk out tonight without knowing that for sure. God, I thank you for the food that we're going to have in a couple of minutes. God, we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.